Kurt, we have a group of people coming in at about 12:15, and I note that item 1142, you've requested 30 minutes. Do you think you could squeeze it in 20 minutes?
We can squeeze it in.
Very good. 1142, please.
Well, Kurt, can I just also frame a question? Mm-hmm. The question we had in our office is, how is this policy different than the existing policy?
I'd be happy to
and
do
if,
so.
And if the answer is not much, then your presentation can be even skinnier.
Suzanne Zuniga is here. And
let's not take testimony until the item's been read, please. 1142.
Excellent.
Direct the Portland Housing Bureau to adopt an affordable housing green building policy for new construction and rehabilitation.
Now.
Very good. Kurt Krieger, Director of Housing. members of Council, Mayor Wheeler, this policy establishes really for the first time a formal policy for green building that will be used by Portland Housing Bureau. When we were created 7 years ago out of the housing functions of now Prosper Portland, then PDC, and the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, we referenced the PDC policy, which had been previously and still to this day, to essentially use LEED Gold, Leadership in Environmental and Energy Development Standards.
Actually, originally it was a completely separate policy from the policy for city facilities, and it was just for affordable housing. And over time, it started to align with the city policy.
So this is more specific. We focused narrowly on the three things that make the biggest difference to the residents or the households themselves: indoor air quality, energy consumption, and water consumption. Because in LEED, you can get points for things that don't necessarily have a tangible, measurable impact on a resident health or their cost of living. Just for the people that might be watching this on TV, this applies to buildings of 20 or more units for which the Housing Bureau has a 10% or greater financial stake, or city-owned properties. So it doesn't affect privately owned properties, and if people are using private financing, they are free to do what they think is right under the construct of other city policies and development regulations. We wanted to very much be clear about this policy, so Suzanne Zuniga was tasked with convening stakeholders over the last year to devise and derive the right standard going forward. And I'm pleased that she's a designer, so she has this background herself as an architect as a LEED professional, and she's here to describe in greater detail the actual policy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you need help with that? Oh, there it goes.
There it goes.
There it goes.
What's up?
Okay. So I think you already know the background, which isn't coming up. This happened before. So I think you know the background. There was a policy that was special for affordable housing over time, and after the Housing Bureau was formed, we just kind of fell back on PDC's policy, which eventually matched the city's. The city's policy is LEED Gold for new buildings and LEED Silver for existing. This policy, it looks like none of my slides are going to show up. So there was a lot of community engagement. We had 5 meetings. We had several reviews of drafts. We included all the stakeholders, architects, developers, contractors, green building consultants, and then we made sure to coordinate with other funders and all of our partners. As Kurt said, it's applicable to 20 units or more, affordable housing only, and 10% funding from PHB or owned by us. And the you know what the big objectives are: to improve tenant health and meet our climate action plan and environmental stewardship and all of that, which I can't see. but the practical objective and what we were really going after was to carve out, if you will, from LEED and Earth Advantage, the bigger programs, which have many, many measures that you can choose from to get all your points, to carve out the measures that had the most benefit on multifamily housing, and to really focus on that and get our points for those measures. So that's what this policy is meant to do, and it focuses on energy, water, and indoor air quality. It sets long-term goals for energy and water to get to 50% energy reduction in by 20, I mean, to get to zero net energy by 2050 and 50% water reduction by 2040. Okay. I'll just wing it.
You're doing good.
And so...
Hey, at least you got the machine turned on. That's farther than a lot of people get.
It's fine. So
grab it so we can get it signed. Yeah.
We have been watching where our money is going on our affordable housing projects and started to feel like it was getting very expensive to continue to do LEED Gold, and we weren't sure what we were getting for that. So we've paid a lot of attention, talked to our stakeholders, talked to everybody, talked to the green building consultants, really did a lot of research to really understand what are the measures that really matter and make a difference in our buildings, and that's where we focused. And then we set very high targets for those measures. And then we commissioned a cost study with PSU through the Climate Action Collaborative to compare LEED Gold, meeting LEED Gold, and meeting our policy. And we even used three of our recent projects with real actual data to test the analysis. And the study shows that we should see a slight reduction in first cost because there are fewer measures. And this policy is more streamlined, so there's a lot less documentation involved, a lot less administration, a lot less cost for the certifications. But we're maintaining those two certifications so that we have that credibility, that third-party verification.
Can I ask a question? Since we,
sure.
Since we can't see the PowerPoint, Carla, can people at home see the PowerPoint? Can we get the camera back on the people who are testifying? Or our screens don't work? And Mayor, I'm just going to make a point here
of
personal privilege, since my bureaus spend the most time doing PowerPoints. Every single council session, we have a technical failure that is not Carla's fault, that is not anyone's fault in this room, but is entirely disrespectful to the people who are watching at home and to the people who spend all this time preparing PowerPoints. And I respectfully ask that we fix this problem and not go week to week hoping and praying that a PowerPoint works when people have spent all this time. And someone needs to be responsible for it. It isn't the council clerk. That is not Carla's job. She has a million other things on her plate.
I agree. I nominate Nick Fish. All in favor, vote aye.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. There's no ownership.
Commissioner, you're right. And I just looked. It is actually working at home. I don't know what the deal is with the PowerPoint. We'll look into that and see if we can figure it out.
And we'll make it part of the permanent record.
So what's that?
We'll make it also part of the permanent record.
Very good.
Well,
good.
And that doesn't help people watching it now. And Mayor, if we have to, I would like to add something in the fall bump to have a professional come in and fix it, because it's embarrassing that this happens every week. And Carla should not be put in the middle of disappointed people who can't run PowerPoints.
All right. Very good.
All right. So to summarize the policy, for energy efficiency, we set targets for what an EUI, which is an energy use intensity, and that is the amount of energy used per square foot per year in a building. It's a good metric that works across various programs, and that's why we chose to use that one. They will meet the targets that we've set that will decrease every 3 to 6 years until we get to net zero at 2050. We'll obviously be reviewing this annually and checking those metrics and deciding if we can get there faster and depending on the market and technology. Two other pieces of the policy for energy have to do with solar and electric vehicle charging. We just felt like it was... a good move to position our projects to take advantage of those technologies as they continue to develop. So our projects will have the choice of either installing solar and EV charging or just being solar and EV ready so that they have the infrastructure there, which is a very small incremental cost when you do it when you are in new construction. They'll have that infrastructure there and ready to accept those technologies as they continue to evolve and the cost continues to go down. The other measure is for water. We have a target of water reduction based on a federal metric to reduce water in by 50% by 2040. So similarly, we will see water reductions that will go down incrementally every 3 to 5 years until we get to the 50% reduction.
Is it your recommendation that in the multifamily property area that we fund, that we mandate individual meters per unit so we can actually enforce some of these guidelines?
We can enforce this guideline just through the plumbing fixtures. It's really just the rating of each plumbing fixture, and that can be documented.
But it does. I'm just curious because, as you know, the utilities have been trying to crack the code about how to get more discounts to needy people. Does any of your policy contemplate at some point individual meters?
Not in this policy. We are talking about it within with our partners a lot, and some of our partners are testing it and putting net metering in some buildings. It's quite expensive, and that's why people are hesitating to really jump on that. We're looking for other ways and whether we can just do it with software rather than actual physical meters and trying to find the best way to really get at that.
Thank you.
And then the other piece, the third piece, is indoor air quality, which is the most important for tenant health. And we have three measures for that. One is a no-smoking policy indoors. The second puts limits on airborne toxics like volatile organic compounds. It's using the strictest measure from California standards. And the other one is to have a balanced ventilation system so that code already requires buildings to exhaust air out of kitchens and bathrooms. This will require them to provide the same amount of fresh air supply. So instead of just saying you will open your window, we will be providing that fresh air that's conditioned and filtered, et cetera. So those are the basic provisions for energy, water, and indoor air quality. And then quickly, I'll just go through. There's a lot on the back end, sort of baseline requirements to ensure we're getting the performance we want. Lots of coordination meetings that are required, lots of testing and inspection that's required, all through design, all through construction. We even do sort of a pre-blower door test so that by the time we get to the end of construction and commissioning, we will pass that blower door test. We will pass the commissioning that will get the performance that was designed in to meet this policy. We're also asking them to commission again at 7 years after construction as a check-in to make sure, again, that the building is continuing to perform as it was designed. The systems are balanced, the maintenance is being done, et cetera, et cetera. In terms of compliance, they will submit regular reports to us. They will submit their final certification, and we will be doing this for ourselves eventually. And there's a $5,000 penalty if they don't comply. That's not that large, but really the loan agreement with us is the bigger leverage that we have in terms of getting compliance. And the three construction coordinators work with these projects from inception all the way through construction. So we will be monitoring progress and making sure there really is a good faith effort. I think that concludes it.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Colleagues, any further
We have a big celebration coming up, so can I ask you to, Kurt, send me in writing, since this is a first reading, if we've heard a lot of people come to council saying we should backtrack on our green building policy, on our opportunity agenda, and on our fair wage policy, and that's been a constant drumbeat in terms of making reducing the cost of some of our housing. Between now and the vote, would you let me know if this green policy that you're proposing in any way backtracks on any of the policies that we currently have in place around green buildings?
I'd be happy to, and it would also allow me to enter into the record the PSU report, which I just saw this morning for the first time. So I'll include that in my response.
Thank you. Thank you.
So on the indoor air quality, you said the fresh air will now be conditioned. Does that mean air conditioning?
Well, no.
Okay. I was just wondering.
It will be heated. It won't be air conditioned. And we're doing a study right now on air conditioning because we see the climate changing. We have the data on that. We're looking at how much our buildings will overheat as time goes on. Right. We have commissioned a study also with PSU through the Climate Action Collaborative to study how much we what the need is going to be, how much we can do with the shell passively, and then if we have to, what are the best active systems. And we are running energy models and all kinds of study to really understand that issue because we know it's ahead of us.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think with climate change happening and it seems like the humane thing to require. I've gone to enough groundbreaking or ribbon cuttings of our affordable housing facilities in the summertime to realize how hot these places are for the individuals who are going to end up living in them.
Currently, as a fallback, most of our projects are using portable units that plug into a window panel so that we can get to the units that are overheating, which are usually the west side and the top. We don't often need it on the north side, on the bottom. So we are mostly doing that. It allows us the flexibility to get air conditioning to the units that need it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Are you further, colleagues, any further questions or comments? This is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. I did forget that. I apologize. Is there any public testimony on this item?
We have one person, Isaac Johnson.
Come on up, Isaac. Sorry about that. My apologies.
Ted, we can do 11:43 in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Teresa's here. We can do it in 3 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Or we can just go to the second reading. We have a second reading, too.
Hello,
we're waiting
on
Mark.
Isaac
and
Johnson.
We can send the principal.
Okay.
Send her home.
Press the button, yeah.
There we go. Thank you. Hi, I'm Isaac Johnson. I'm a principal at Ankrum Moisson Architects, and we employ about 200 people here in Old Town. We're one of the leading designers of multifamily housing on the West Coast. I'd like to speak in favor of the new PHB green building policy, and specifically in favor of setting long-term goals to reduce energy consumption. Our firm has a history of designing over 2,500 affordable homes, including one of the largest passive house projects in North America. We design both market rate and affordable homes, and the affordable projects often lead the industry in reducing energy use. This is because investors, such as the City of Portland, and operators are long-term owners and will realize the payback of this investment. Over the 25 years I've been doing affordable housing, I've witnessed a growing awareness and implementation of sustainable building practices. Features that were aspirational 15 years ago are now standard practice, and it's time for a policy that looks forward from here and gently raises the bar. The American Institute of Architects champions the 2030 plan to progressively achieve carbon neutral buildings by the year 2030. This PHB policy sets a similar goal for net zero by the year 2050. We can hit this mark. The technology and knowledge is on hand today, especially here in the city of Portland. Design professionals are aspirational and optimistic. We want to save the world, and this policy is an ally in that fight. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. It may even be afternoon.
Slightly.
I'm Mike Steffen, the Director of Innovation at Walsh Construction Company, and I'm here on behalf of Walsh to voice my support for PHP's efforts to create a streamlined and vital green building policy, a policy that should reduce the demands of green certification while ensuring that the deep benefits of green building are included in Portland's affordable housing moving forward. I believe PHP should be commended for focusing on energy efficiency and air quality as the core measures of green building that benefit our community and the residents of the buildings. Without a doubt, there are small incremental costs involved in bringing these measures into our buildings. However, these buildings are long-term assets to the community, and that minimum upfront investment in these critical measures will certainly pay off over the long term. As part of the policy, PHB has proposed life cycle cost analysis to assist with decision making. Walsh has used such tools in the past, and we believe that is another strong element in the policy and look forward to seeing how that plays out on future projects. Thank you for your time. Apologies for being short of breath. I just ran up the stairs.
Thank you for making it.
Thank you.
It's good exercise. Absolutely. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.